Psalm 37, that music is just absolutely wonderful. That's enough to make a holy roller dip snuff right there, boy. That is really, really good. I wish I could sing. I wish I could. I get my glorified body. I'm sure I'll be right on. I sing in the shower, and we've got a poodle at our house, and that poodle will howl when I get in the shower, and my wife will come in and say, "Cut it." Cut it. But I really do. I wish that my wife can sing, my kids can sing. I just can't do it, but I wish I could. I sang with them up here, and that's why they were off a little bit. But they did a great job, and I thank you for the music. Always keep that old-fashioned music. You don't have to go to this new junk in order to let God. God will bless that and thank God for it. Psalm 37, boys and girls, and verse 24. And then I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to have two verses this morning. Psalm 37, verse 24. And then I want you to find Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. So the first one is Psalm 37, verse 24. And then the second one is Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. So I want you to find Psalm 37, verse 24, and then a companion verse of Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. So those are the two. Just hold your place there. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large mammal, its throat was very small. The little girl stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. The teacher became upset and said that a whale could not swallow a human. She said, physically impossible. The little girl said, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. The teacher said gruffly, well, what if Jonah went to hell? The little girl said, then you ask him. Now, boys and girls, don't do that. Don't do that. Psalm 37, verse 24. Proverbs, that's my wife's favorite. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment here. Psalm 37, verse 24. The Bible says this, and boy, what a wonderful verse this is. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Speaking of God's children. I love it, don't you? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's a safety net you can't beat. Now go to a companion verse, Proverbs 24 and verse 16. The scripture says this, for a just man, speaking of a saved man, talking about being justified, it's a just man. The scales are balanced, sins are paid for, not by you, but by the blood of Christ being applied. For a just man, it's a saved man, falleth seven times. Wow. And riseth up again. So for every fall, then, there's a rising. Look at this. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Not going to get back up. I want to talk to you this morning, and we'll not be long because I'm hungry. We're getting out of here. You understand that? I spotted a Kentucky Fried Chicken. And so we're going to put a chicken in the ministry today. But I want to talk to you about this subject. I have fallen, and I can get back up. You seen that commercial? I've fallen, I can't get up. Well, I want you to know that God said that you can get back up. So I want you to listen carefully. It will not be long, but I do think it's a very, very important truth that God wants us to get this morning. Father, thank you for the pastor. Thank you for the great man that he's been all these years and fought the battles, got battle scars all over him. And I'm grateful that there's someone we can look to and say to a young man of God, call him. He'll help you. And I'm glad. And Father, I miss Brother Hiles. I miss him something terrible. But I'm grateful that we have men like this man of God. Now I pray that you'll help me to help his people. Put one more brick of truth in the wall of life. And may we get something today that will help us. Father, we need your help. We're little children. And we're going to run and jump in your lap this morning, Papa. And we're going to ask for help. So please don't let this be a typical Sunday morning service. May it be a life-changing service this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to note that the scripture talks about a just man falling. It's not talking here about an unjust man. When I got saved at age 11, I came to Christ Sunday night after church. The preacher preached on hell, got my attention. I went home and started crying. And I was upstairs getting ready for bed. My mama came up, an old white, two-story white frame farmhouse. And she said, son, what are you crying about? And I said, Mama, I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to hell. If what that preacher said is right, I'm going to hell, and I don't want to go to hell. And I was crying. Of course, being the loving mother she was, she started crying. And she went over and she said, Son, listen to this statement. She said, you don't have to. You don't have to go to hell. Best words I ever heard in my life. You don't have to go to hell. And she told me about Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then she said, Son, get in your bedroom, get on your knees, and invite Christ into your heart. My mama died at age 98, went home to be with the Lord on Christmas Day, 2010. The one thing she has said to me over and over again, she said, the only regret I have is I didn't go in that room with you when you prayed. But I went in there alone, and I got on my knees. It wasn't a very fancy prayer, but I didn't know what to pray. And I said, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. Will you save my soul? And he did. Now, since that day at age 11, guess what, boys and girls? There have been times in my life when I fell. Been times in your life when you've fallen. And I think there's a truth here that we'd better get a hold of, or we'll never, ever be able to influence a community for Christ. Let me give you some four statements at the beginning. Some fall because of what they do. Some of the things that I did in my life, I did it. I got nobody to blame but myself. And the falls in your life, some of you, you just did it yourself. You did it. You got nobody to blame but yourself. And I think it's very wise, unless confess means agree with God. And unless you agree with God about what you did, you can't get forgiveness and go on. And by the way, the Bible says confess and forsake. You can't forsake that which you don't agree about. So God is saying sometimes it's what we do. You did it. Oh, I married a bum. You did it. I married Jezebel. You did it. Now, I shouldn't have taken that job and got out of church. You did it. I shouldn't have bought that house, got myself in debt in a bank. You did it. The quicker you can say, I did it, the quicker you can get forgiveness and can go on. You'll make the same mistake again and again and again if you don't agree that you did it. Number two, second thing, some fall because of what others do. We have young ladies in our church who are rearing their children alone. Husbands ran off with some harlot and left them alone, and they're raising the kids, doing the best they can. But they didn't ask for that. Some people, their businesses went bankrupt. Well, they didn't ask for that. A lot of things happen in life you don't ask for, but it happened to you. You got caught in the crossfire. It just so happened, it happened, and there you were. And some fall because of what they do. It's a decision you made, and confess it, face it, and go on. Number two, some fall because of what others do. Number three, some falls are seen. Everybody in the world seems to know about it, it seems like. In the church, something happened. Boy, all of a sudden, by Friday, everybody knows about it. It's seen. Or maybe it makes the papers. Maybe the papers do it. It's embarrassing. Or maybe it's a national figure that does it. But some falls are seen. Everybody in the whole cotton-picking world seems to know about what's going on. And, of course, if it's on the Internet, it must be true. Surely they wouldn't put anything on the Internet that was not true. Surely not. So you need to understand, number one, some fall because of what they do. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but I look at my life and I see some stupid things I did, but I did it. And best for me to agree about it. Don't try to blame everybody else, but just take responsibility. Then number two, some fall because of what others do. I've seen things in my life where I had four children, going to Bible college, went to work at Wisconsin Steel, and there was a padlock on the door. I showed up and whoa. And so I didn't know what to do. And there was a notice on it that said that they'd gone bankrupt. I took my paycheck, went to the bank, and the bank said, I'm sorry, there's no funds there to cover your paycheck. Well, I didn't ask for that. Didn't ask for that at all. I had to shovel snow for about 6-7 weeks in order to put food on the table and take care of our bills. And I did. I worked hard. Now, but I didn't ask for that, but it happened. When I got married, I didn't ask for a mother-in-law, but it happened. Anyway, number three. Some falls are seen. Everybody knows about it. Number four, most falls are not seen. Now, if you don't write anything else down, you write that down. Most falls are not seen. Here's what we do. Something happens, we hear about it, and we become irate. How in the world could they do that? Yet you fell, and nobody knows about it. You're only outraged because of the other, everybody knows about it. Now, please somebody tell me the difference. That's why you see in the Old Testament, Jesus said, God said in the Old Testament, don't murder. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm going to take you to a second mile thought, don't hate. Now, forgive me, but I'd rather have you hate me than kill me. Just hate. He said, in the old, God said, don't commit adultery. Jesus came along and said, I'm going to take it to a second level here. I don't want you looking at a woman lusting after her. I don't want you doing that. All right, now, let me tell you. So God said, if you hate somebody, forgive me, you're going to get mad at me. But you don't hate me. You're not supposed to. But it's the same as murder. So somebody kills somebody or somebody commits adultery, and we say, what a bomb! Yet you've got some secret sin somewhere.
Yeah.
Now don't look at me that way. You know it's true. I said some falls because of what they do. Some fall because of what others do. Some falls are seen. Most falls are unseen. I could call the name of a national leader, and I wonder after he fell, if he'd walked into this church today and sat down, what you'd do. Now, you'll forgive somebody else, but boy, if it really burns you, you ain't about it. Now, he'll find another church. Oh, really? Really? So if somebody has an accident, they go to the emergency room, the guy's upset, and he's going to send him to another emergency room. I'm not going to treat you, and I'll take care of you. Doesn't work that way. Nobody goes to an accident and says, EMT says, okay, who did it? All right, I'm not going to treat you. I'll treat you first because you didn't do it. Doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way with God either. Now, let me give you some thoughts. Number one, the just man does fall. Now, you get that stuck in your head. The just man does fall. People, I bet that guy's not even saved. I don't know. You don't know. Ain't none of God's children know. I don't know. May be and may not be. It makes me wonder. But best for you to realize that's God's business, not your business.
Yeah.
Well, that church member, he must not be saved, or he wouldn't have done that. Oh, really? Well, let's get a video camera and follow you around for a while. And those things that nobody knows about, and then we'll put up on the wall out here and ask everybody else if they think you're saved. Come on, talk to me now. Bible says, for all have what? Sin. For all have what? Sin. Well, you don't put gossip in there? For all have gossiped. Not me. Oh, yeah, you. Now, please understand, the just man does fall. That's what he's saying here in the scripture. Don't judge somebody's salvation by the fact that they fail. Because a just man will fall. I knocked on a door in Starville, Texas. Rodney Calhoun was with me, knocked on the door. Guy came to the door. I gave him a tract. He looked at me and he said, I can't be saved. I said, why can't you be saved? And he started crying. He said, I killed a man on this porch right here. Took a shotgun, blew his head off. He said, they told me it was justified. He said, but I can't sleep at night. Toss and turn all night. All I see, nightmares. All I see is that man lying there losing his life on my front porch. Justified or not, he said, I can't live. And God won't save me. Can't save me because I'm a murderer. I went. I said, give me 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. I went and sat down. I went through the Bible. Told different Bible characters in the Bible. And I got done. He put a smile on his face. He said, my goodness. He said, most of the Bible's written by murderers. I said, well, that's what it says. And he said, just as like a little child, he said, do you think Jesus had saved me too?
Amen.
And he did. Him, his wife, two little blonde-headed girls, beautiful little girls, got baptized at our church. Now, will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you what, that's a horrible sin he committed. Let's see, hate, murder, lust, adultery. Okay, you got the picture? Number two, the just man falls many times. The Bible says seven. Now, the number seven is in the Bible, you know, numerology, six for man and so on. Seven's for completeness or perfection. Now, it may be exactly seven, or God may be teaching us a great lesson here. But the truth of the matter is, I know it's seven. That's more than two. I said, thank you for the response. All right, so the just man falls many times. One fall gets up. Second fall gets up. Third fall gets up, and about then we say, how much longer we got to pay for that guy? I'm sick and tired of going and getting him back in church, and he falls out. Get him back in church, and he falls out. Get him back in church, and he falls out. God said seven times.
Yeah.
Now, if that's the case, then maybe you and I, the worst thing in the world you can do is somebody finally comes back to church, you say, well, look what the cat drug in. Oh, you're a sweet person, aren't you? Well, maybe we ought to give you a visitor's card. And maybe we ought to slap you on the next Friday.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, somewhere in here, where do you come up with that stuff? Do you know how hard it is to come back? Do you know how hard it is once you've fallen out and you've gotten your life messed up to get the courage to get up on a Sunday morning, get yourself ready, go to Sunday school, to the very place where everybody knows what you've done. And you ought to have the courage to welcome them like a prodigal son back to the Father and say, God bless you, we're glad you're back. If you knew how hard it is to get people saved, get people baptized, get people in church and disciples, if you knew how, you wouldn't do that to them. Thank God they come back. You say, well, I can't trust them. Now, that's a different story, isn't it? I'm not saying if somebody falls and gets into deep sin, you come and put them in a Sunday school class next Sunday. Because you have to earn it. But they ought to at least be welcome. If they come and sit down in the same pew, do you move? God might sit in here after what they've done. Well, maybe they shouldn't be sitting with you after what you did. Only nobody knows about it except God. Number one, the just man does what? Tell me, the just man does what? Fall. Talk to me. The just man does what? I can't hear you. The just man does what? He's not saved. Oh, wait a minute now. The Bible says the just man does fall. Number two, the just man falls many times. Can't hear you. The just man falls many times. Talk to me. The just man falls many times. Not once, not twice, not three, four, five, six, seven. Many times. Number three, the just man gets back up. The Bible, one fall, get back up. Second fall, get back up. Third fall, get back up. Fourth fall, do I have to keep going? Get back up. Gets back up. Now, the scriptures tell us there are two elements here that help. Number one, write this down. The Holy Spirit. He's a paraclete. He's the advocate. He lives in you. He lives in the man who falls. And the Bible says he's the paraclete. He'll help you. Advocate. He'll help you get back up on your feet. Yeah, that's where the inner strength comes from. The Holy Spirit of God helping you. Second, Galatians 6:1, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. We not only need the Holy Spirit of God working inside, but we need somebody with flesh, a Christian who cares, to stick his hand out and say, let me help you. Sit with me. Go soul-winning with me. Come to my Sunday school class. Listen, if we are to, why do we shoot our wounded? They're wounded in battle. Don't shoot them, try to help them. Now, if they do something that's against the law, lock them up. They can start a jail ministry. I'm not saying like the Catholics do, when somebody violated it, cover it up with some Catholic heresy, hierarchy. That was a subliminal. But don't do that. What you want, lock them up. If you're going to be a pedophile, lock them up. Put them on an island somewhere. But the truth of the matter is, when somebody makes a mistake and blows it, and the law's not going to lock them up, you ought to help them get back on their feet. The just man, number one, does what? He falls. Number two, just man falls many times. Number three, just man gets back up. Holy Spirit helps, and a Christian who cares. Number four, the just man, then if I understand these scriptures, develops a habit of getting back up. Saved man cannot stay down. Now, what happens if they get back on their feet, they come back here, and you won't welcome them back? Then they're going to go somewhere else. But somebody ought to welcome them. So the just man develops a habit again. I cannot stay away from soul winning. I can't stay away from tithing. I can't stay away from my Bible. Can't stay away from church. I can't do it. Why? The Holy Ghost of God is sealed in me until the day of redemption. Now that's why it's important you understand. He'll develop a habit of getting back up. All right, number five. The just man is perfected by both. That's why the number seven's used for perfection. You're perfected by both. Falling, getting back up. Falling, getting back up. Here's what you say. I'll never do that again. What? I learned something. Dumb as I am, I learned something. That stove's hot. I'm not going to do that again. Now you turn around and do something else stupid. It's just a part. It's our humanity. It's our humanity. Look, you don't spank your kids one time and say, well, I took care of that. Never spank that kid again. A preacher doesn't get up and say, preached on tithing, took care of that. Won't have to mention tithing again. No, it doesn't work that way. So you need to understand, you develop a habit of getting back up, but you're perfected by both. That's why you young ladies, the Bible says you young ladies, go to the old women. No, that ain't right. Go to the aged women. That sounds so much better. Go to the aged women. You know, I don't understand. You young ladies, do you understand? You have a beauty that's just unbelievable. Young ladies, you have a natural beauty. Why in the world you want to paint it up? I'll never understand. It's naturally beautiful. Now, if you're an old woman, paint that thing up. Anyway, fill in those cracks. But now, some, and the Bible talks about the fact that young men are to go to the aged men. That's how you learn. That's how you become more mature. And then as you get older, somebody's going to come to you, and then you can give them advice from what? From the time you fail. And you say, this helped me and perfected me. Now, I want to help you with it. Everybody's different. I have four children. My two. If I said to Kimberly, my oldest, don't touch that, she would say, don't touch what? That's exactly what she'd do. If I said to my redheaded girl, Karen, don't touch that, she'd be in over the corner crying. Oh, Daddy, I won't do it. I won't do it. They're all different. Every one of them different. Bob Scott would fight at a drop of a hat and throw the hat to do it. And he stands about that tall, skinny as a rail. I don't know where he got that from, but skinny. But he's just different. Now, Bob is tender and loving. I said it was a small band's compliment. My wife gets so mad. Don't say that. Don't say that. She's not here, so I'll say it. Okay. So number one, I said the just man does what? Talk to me. The just man does what? He does fall. Oh, I must not be saved. Well, hello, God. How you doing? You're not God. David committed adultery and then turned right around and killed a husband. If you'd been sitting there and heard that the next Sunday morning or next Saturday, you'd have said to yourself, well, how in the world could David be saved? Moses, who led the children of Israel. Somebody said, did you know he killed a man? And somebody said, that Moses did? You wouldn't even read the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Bible there. All right. Number one, I am in a fundamental church. Wow. Okay. Number one, the just man. I'm sorry. I'm just being sarcastic. Number one, the just man does what? Falls. Number two, the just man falls many times. Number three, the just man gets back up. Holy Spirit, help him. But we need a Christian who cares to help. Number four, the just man develops a habit. It develops a what? Habit. A what? Habit. I know where to go. If I'm away from God, I know to get back to church. I know to get back to my Bible. I know to call the preacher, say, help me, help me, help me. Why? It's a habit. It should be a good one. Number five, the just man is what? Perfected. I can't hear you. Just man's what? Perfected. Number six, the just man does not blame others. Doesn't blame others. Oh, I blame it himself. Don't blame others. Even if others do it to him, he immediately claims Romans 8:28-29. I'm being conformed to his image. All things work together. It doesn't say all good things. All things work together to them that love God and called according to his purpose. All right? Now, I'm just, the just man does not. We're some victim. Well, I tell you, I'd have turned out right if my daddy had just taken me fishing. I'll remind you that Peter fished all night, caught nothing, and cussed. But anyway, the just man does not blame others. Oh, if my daddy just played ball with me, I wouldn't be the what I am today. Oh, what are you talking about? If you went to see the Rangers play, you'd cuss too. But anyway, the just man does not blame others. Number seven, the last point. Aren't you proud of me? This is the last point. It's like that fat woman going underneath that barbed wire fence. A few more points and we'll be through. Number seven. The just man ends up on his, I don't care if you like it or not, I think it's funny. The just man, I was in New Jersey and a woman walked up. He said, you know what, you're not very funny. I said, but you think you're funny, and that's what makes you funny. if you're not going to laugh at me, I'll laugh at me. The just man ends up on his feet. Now that's what it says here. One fall, up. Second, up. All the way to seven. How's he end up? On his feet. You say, but preacher, all these health problems I've gotten, you're telling me I'm not on my feet. Preacher, we're financially broken. You're telling me that I know I'm saved and I'm on my feet? My wife has had 38 surgeries. I've seen that she has a deteriorating bone disease. And the last thing they did, they put two plates in both her feet so she could stand. And she got out last week for the first time in a long time. But sometimes I've seen her lay on that bed, and we got an 8-pound poodle. little 8-pound poodle. I've seen it jump on that bed and ergo like that. And it just kills me. There's nothing I can do. Not a thing I can do. If I were to say to her, you're going to land on your feet, she'd say, they're not very good feet. You land on my feet. I've got a grandson who's 23 years of age, RG, who wasn't supposed to live. And he has the mind of a child. His head's not shaped right. In fact, he has boils all over him because of the medication that he has to take. His arms are longer than they should be. He had to take the frontal lobe off, shape it, and put it back on. So he had somewhat of a good facial look. And bless his heart. He walks like this. And he smiles all the time. He thinks the whole world's abnormal. He really does. He's just so fun to be. Bob became the pastor. I retired 5 years ago. Bob became the pastor, and RG went around for the next month going, you're fired. You're different people. You're fired. Bob got up on a Wednesday night and said, have you been fired by RG? Half the crowd raised, you're fired. But I was out soul winning with him. He's my soul winning buddy, and we were leading some children to Christ. And again, I don't know what he comprehends and what he doesn't comprehend. But some teenagers came around the corner of this apartment complex and started making fun of him, the way he looked. And you know, as a grandparent or a parent, it just kills you. Of course, I know what's going on over here. I don't know if RG knows what's going on. So we went and finished our business here. And I wanted to get up and go over there in the name of Jesus and talk to them. But they were gone. So I walked back to car. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. But tears began to, I hurt for him. But I didn't know what he comprehended and what he didn't. So we got in the car, sat down, he buckled up, I buckled up. I'm sitting in the driver's seat. I went like that inside and just get my composure to drive the car. God bless him. He reached over and patted me on the shoulder, and he said, "It okay, Paul." I don't know if he understood or didn't understand. But you say, land on your feet. Doesn't sound like RG's going to land on his feet. Now, wait a minute now. Let the rapture take place. Huh? Let that trumpet sound. Let that military shout of, come on home. And the dead in Christ are raised first, and we which are alive. Well, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
We which are alive are changed in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah. Hey, guess who's going to land on their feet? It'll be the just people, the people have been justified by Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, that blood applied to their soul. Listen, you and I, don't sit here and get into a mire of pettiness and feel self-pity and feel sorry for yourself because of this old wicked world. We're not going to stay here. We're going out.
Amen.
Not going to be here. That rapture takes place. I'm going to go up and look over, and there's going to be RG kind of on Tulane Avenue with a glorified body. My wife's going to come off of a bed of affliction, and she's going to be having a glorified body. That poodle. She loves that poodle. I said to her, I wish you loved me half as much as you do that poodle. And she looked at me, but didn't even blink, said, I do. She's had 5 poodles, and I don't know why they don't like me. But is this being taped? I love my wife's poodle, but we had a black poodle named Buttons, that stupid poodle. I mean, stupid, stupid, stupid poodle. Neighbor had a Rottweiler, and that stupid black poodle, you'd put him out in the backyard, he'd run straight to that fence and act like he was the big dog. There's a big Rottweiler and a little bitty old poodle. That Rottweiler on the other side looked like he'd put a napkin on. You don't got to. Come on over. Oh, many a time I wanted to take that poodle and just drop it over. Now, that poodle died and went to hell, but life is rough. Life is hard. I know it is. But in God's dear name, don't sit around. Nobody's going to come to your pity party. Here's what you do. You come and walk in here, and nobody hugs your neck. Why? They're having their own pity party. You thank God you're saved. Thank God you're going to heaven. Thank God you're not going to hell. And I promise you, you're going to land on your feet. Not so with the wicked. Not so with the wicked. If you're here this morning and don't know that you're going to heaven, my friend, you are not going to land on your feet. Not going to do it. But if you are, quit sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. And quit blaming everybody. Obama had that debate out in Denver. It was the altitude. I couldn't think. You can't think when you're on level ground. A recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose your job. And a recovery is when Obama loses his job. You won't say amen to Jesus, but you'll amen that, won't you? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Are you saved this morning? Hey, are you? I'm a church member. Didn't ask you that. Are you saved? I'm baptized. Didn't ask you that. I'm a Baptist. Didn't ask you that. If you dropped dead right now, would you go to heaven? I live a good life. Didn't ask you that. Have you been born again? Because if you're not, you're going to die and go to hell. And I don't want you to. And you're not going to find people on the job tomorrow that are concerned about your soul. But you'll find it in God's house today. It's no accident. Listen, if Jesus had, listen to this, and I'll quit. I think. If Jesus had 12 and one of them was lost, then don't you think in a crowd like this, we could have somebody not saved? I think so. And let me tell you something. Don't. Whatever you do, don't you let your pride keep you from getting saved. I was preaching Sunday morning up north, and a teenager jumped up and started screaming, I don't want to go to hell, and I'm not going to hell. And he pointed at me and said, I'm not going to hell for you. He pointed at his parents, or for you. And he pointed to a Sunday school teacher and said, or you. And he ran down the altar and got saved in the middle of the sermon. He's supposed to wait, but in the middle of the sermon. That same Sunday morning, a Lutheran lady who go to her Sunday school Lutheran, and she'd come for preaching. And she'd come in, I mean, dressed to kill. I mean, just. Anyway, she'd come in, a big old hat and white gloves on, and just looked like $1 million. And she had 6 months, just as regular as could be. That morning, when that kid jumped up and screamed, I don't want to go to hell, I'm not going to hell, and got saved, at the invitation, she stepped out, walked down to the front, and reached up and started pulling that white glove off her hand, threw it over like this, put her hand out, and she said, I think it's time for me to get regenerated myself. He's a lifelong Lutheran, but didn't know about the new birth. You could be a lifelong Baptist, not know about it. Let's stand, our heads about, our eyes are closed. Musicians are going to come, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Oh, I wish there was some way. I pastored for 33 years. I wish there was some way I could get you to understand how much your pastor loves you. I wish somehow I could get his heart on display this morning to let you know that he wouldn't be doing this if he didn't love God and love you. Please, this morning, please listen to me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Please don't go to hell. Please, please, please listen to me. Please don't go to hell. You're sitting here saying, well, I didn't like you. I don't like you. Well, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. I don't like this church. That's not the issue. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. 1 second in hell, and it's going to dawn on you that you're going to be there forever. Someone's speaking to your heart right now, and it ain't me. There's a sweet Holy Ghost of God that's going from person to person in this room this morning. I know I've been there. I've stood there, held onto that pew. Please allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and to draw you. Please don't go to hell. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want you to picture where you were when you got saved. Can you see it? Can you see it? Was it a bedroom? Was it altar? Sunday school class? Dining room? Can you see it? Okay. Now, if you can't, and you don't know that you're going to heaven, please don't go to hell. The Bible says if you'll admit your condition before God, and all of us are sinners. Some are saved sinners. Some are lost sinners. And you realize the price for the wages of sin is death. And you realize that lake of fire, that second death the Bible talks about, that's your payment. But if you realize Jesus died, dipped his soul into hell, and was resurrected to prove he has power over death, hell, and the grave. In fact, the book of Revelation says he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And you say, I don't want to go to hell. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, but for sure. now right where you are, would you open up and allow Christ to come in? He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force his way in. Now, the blood has been shed, but if it's not applied, it's not going to work. So I want you to open up your soul this morning and let Jesus apply his blood. Let him save your soul. Are you ready? I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer. This prayer does not save. They're just words. Christ does the saving, but he needs to be invited in. All right? Now, right where you are, would you pray this? Not out loud, but would you pray this? Dear Jesus, I know I'm unsaved. I don't want to go to hell. Jesus, please apply your blood to my soul. Jesus, please save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for answering prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you prayed that sincerely just then, no one looking around, I wonder if you'd very quietly raise your hand and say, Brother Gray, I prayed that prayer. Would you raise it up high? Say, I prayed that prayer. I pray. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, oh, it's good to see these adults raising their hand. Lord, to have enough sense to say, I don't want to go to hell. God, I'm so glad that you're a loving Father and that you care. So much so you had to turn your back on your own son because he bore our sins upon his body. God, I'm so glad that for your mercy and your grace. Thank you. May we extend that to Christians who fall and help them to get back up. God bless now, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Look this way. Here's what we're going to do. David, if you'll just stand right down here if you don't mind.